Good afternoon. Welcome to our podcast channel, Home Visiting Conversations, which has been developed by the University of New Mexico Center for Development and Disability Home Visiting Consultation Team with the support of the New Mexico Early Childhood Education and Care Department. I am your host, Rachel Williams, a University of New Mexico Center for Development and Disability Home Visiting Consultant. And I have the pleasure today of speaking with Victor Bernstein about how to learn from emotional reactions during the visit, reflective in action. Good afternoon, Victor. How are you today?
Oh, Rachel, so nice to see you. I will say that I am a podcast rookie, and I'm a little uncomfortable with this format. It's kind of like being on TV for the first time or something. So you have to forgive me if I stumble along here, but I'm sure as time goes on, I'll get a little more comfortable. But right now, I'm a little bit nervous, but very happy to be here with you and your colleagues in New Mexico. So thank you for the opportunity.
Of course. And we love having you around, and we love doing these podcasts. So, and I understand the being nervous. It happens. We get it. But I know that it's going to be a great time with you. So we definitely want to thank you for being with us today and offering your support, your expertise to home visitors across the state of New Mexico, and offering that guidance around reflection, right? And supporting parents while they're in their home visits to understand the meaning of their child's behavior and how essential that is to supporting the parent-child relationship. So I really am excited about this back and forth conversation that will take place today.
Great. Well, let's take off and see where we go.
Yes. So one of the things that we were thinking about as we were thinking about this podcast is really thinking about what is the important element of a home visitor to be a translator of the meaning of the child's behavior for the parent when needed? So how can we express that importance to home visitors?
Well, I think, I believe in a parenting instinct. And I think all parents are meant to be the best parents they can be. But sometimes, based on how they've been raised or information they're getting from their friends or family, they're getting advice about what they should be doing with their children. You should do this, you should do that. And I think the babies can be the best teachers, rather than friends and families.
Yes.
So what we have to look at is have an understanding of development. And I think home visitors are able to do that as they do developmental screenings or in real time, they talk about what the baby's doing, what the toddler is doing, what they're learning, what might come next. And sometimes parents misinterpret, they misunderstand what a child is doing. For example, my granddaughter was over at our house the other day, and we gave her a glass of water, and she had it, and then she threw it. Well, we could put a lot of different interpretations on that. Was she trying to get us angry? Was she just experimenting? If parents attribute or to believe the kids are doing things against them or against their beliefs or values, they're likely to get upset or angry or frustrated with the child and react that way. Sometimes that's not what the child is doing. The child is just experimenting. And so we have to figure out how can we comment on what we think is going on in a way where the parent doesn't feel judged, doesn't feel like we're telling them they're wrong, oh, you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't yell at your child. And I think one of the things that I have found helpful is, first of all, if the parent is getting upset with the child as home visitors, that may bother us. We don't like it when the parents get upset with their babies. We think that that can lead to all kinds of problems, and we probably are having an emotional reaction to that, like, either I should stop that, or what do I do, or I don't like it. And that emotional reaction can cause us to take an action. But what I think what we need to do is one of my little sayings that I have found helpful, and I learned it from home visitors. If we see something that concerns us, meaning in this case, the parents doing something we don't like, notice we're making a judgment, instead of thinking that we have to stop it or fix it, let's get some more information, try and understand more about the parents' thinking. So if a parent says, oh, that child's just trying to aggravate me, trying to be the boss. And we can say something like, oh, where did you get that idea? What makes you say that? We can have a start a conversation about it. So I call it changing our observation of something that causes us to react into inquiry and curiosity. Help us learn more about the parents' experience of this. And it turns out nobody listens until they feel hurt.
True. Very
So
true.
if we start a conversation by asking questions and listening, it creates the opportunity to share our take on what's going on. It may be that we're not right. Maybe the kid is trying to aggravate the parent. Who knows? Usually we don't think that's the case, but sometimes they do. And we might want to talk to the parent how to manage that if that's what's going on. But if it's something else, like just trying to spread their wings, we can say something like, oh, I have heard that many children or some children this age like to do this or that. They're not necessarily trying to aggravate the parents. They're trying to figure out what new thing they can do. Maybe they're just learning how to throw or something like that. We don't know. What do you think of that? And the parent can say, oh no, they're trying to get my goat. We say, okay. But what we've done is, I call it planting the seed. So at least we introduce the idea that the child might not be out to get them. We can come back to that. Remember last time I was here, or remember earlier today? What do you think about that? And then we can say something like, oh, well, have you ever seen her just try to spread her wings and try something on her own that, where she's trying to be the boss or whatever, or take charge? So that I think that's the kind of thing that we're talking about. What noticing our reaction and turning our reaction of frustration. Sometimes we can even be embarrassed. Like if our supervisor's with us on a home visit and the kid
They're
acts and
nervous.
the parent reacts poorly, it's like
Yes.
we're embarrassed. Like we ought to be, we're not, the supervisor might think we're not doing our job if the parents do.
Yeah.
So
Right.
notice all the reactions that we're having. And we need to become more aware of what creates reactions and what do we do when we have them.
Yes.
And so go
Well,
ahead,
there.
you want to say
Yeah,
something?
there's a couple of things that have stuck out for me with as you were talking about that. It really that awareness, right? We have to be aware of how we are going to be in the visit, and that takes us back to how do we prepare for the visit. So knowing that we don't always know what we're going to walk into, yet if we have these MSR, mindful self-regulation practices, right, that we actually do before our visits, it helps us not be as reactive. So we do have that awareness of, okay, I'm not sure what I'm going to walk into, but I feel okay because I took three deep breaths. I'm not feeling rushed, and I have kind of a clearer mind at this moment in time because I don't know what I'm going to walk into. So I feel like we have to remember that it's not just right then and there, right? Because we, as we know, sometimes it's hard to know what to do in the moment.
I think that's mindful self-regulation. I think that that's really important. And also, we are going to react emotionally. That's who we are, as human beings. So I don't think we should expect ourselves not to have a reaction. The question now is, what do we do with that reaction? And if we act on it right away because we're uncomfortable, what we're doing in that moment is trying to make ourselves more comfortable
Yes.
rather than think about what's going on with the parent and child. And so what I think what you said earlier about not being so reactive, reactive inside reactive is action. We're going to have emotional reactions, but how do we put a space in between our emotional reaction and our action? And
Yes.
that's where asking questions help me understand that. Can you tell me more about that? What happened there? Here's a story. I really like this story. I've got a lot of stories to tell that I've learned from home visitors.
Love it.
This was a program where it was a child welfare program where parents were mandated to participate in services. Well, if you've ever had that experience, parents aren't usually very happy about that.
You
And this was a home visitor's first visit with a family who had been mandated to services, and this parent was angry and was yelling. During the visit, the baby got upset at the yelling the parent was doing, not at the baby, but at the home visitor.
Okay.
And the parent, while she's yelling at the home visitor, goes over and picks up the baby, and the baby quiets down. And the home visitor asks, "What happened there? She was upset. What happened?" Mother said, "Well, she was crying. I picked her up." "Oh, so you knew that's what she needed? How did you learn that?" "Well, guess what happened? The parents started talking about the baby, stopped yelling at the home visitor."
Yes.
So they
Oh.
got engaged that way around what was working for the baby. So I think that the other thing that's really an important thing for home visitors to be aware of is when things are going well for the baby and things are going well for the parent and baby, how do we highlight that? I use the sometimes they use the phrase, our mouth is the flashlight.
Okay.
And we need to figure out how, when something is working in front of us, how do we shine the light on
I love that.
it? And I think most home visitors would agree that we're better off shining it on the baby than on the parent. For example, if you're a parent and I come in and say, "Oh, you're doing such a good job with so and so," the parent's going to say, "Well, what the hell? Pardon my language. What do you expect?" So praise is judgmental. And I think in general, parents don't like to feel judged.
Right. That's exactly right. And there's a few things there. We know within home visiting, a big part of the training that we provide is we talk about non-judgment. Just exactly like you were talking about, is parents are doing the best that they can with what they know. And we are there to, like you said, shine that light on those instances that they don't recognize are a shining light.
Yeah, they just think they're every day, not,
Yep.
and by our talking about it, that gives it, pardon this language, but I love this term, gravitas. It gives it weight, gives it power. And then when parent talks about it, I think I've said in other trainings, see it, say it, feel it, own it. So when you talk about it, you plant a seed. When they say it out loud, they're much more likely to notice it and own it. But it all starts with our being in a relatively self-regulated state so we can notice to bring it up so the parent has the opportunity to notice.
Yes. Well, and something you said earlier too, and I think we know this, and we've said this many times in our spaces together, stringing the beads of the work. So, like you were talking about earlier, is going back to that visit the next time. Remember last time we talked about this, or this was noticed. What did you think about that? Because again, that's holding that family in your mind, right? And that shows them a lot, and you're able to enhance something that they just really, again, maybe didn't even think about was that big of a deal.
Yeah. Since I saw you the last time, how else has she showed you she wants to be the boss? What do you think about that? Well, yeah, some things she can be the boss about, some things not. How do you handle that when she can't? So you can open up all these conversations. You can admit possibilities that things don't always go perfectly, and we can talk about when they go well and when they don't. And how do we make sense out of the difference? What did you learn about her when you do something and it helps her settle down? What did you learn about her when you do something and that didn't work? Oh, now she's 2.5. I can't distract her anymore.
Well, again, that it's that awareness, right? It's having, because I love those kinds of conversations too, is putting it back on the parent to bring awareness to what they are doing and to help them notice and recognize that there are shifts that are taking place and that have to happen. And sometimes, just like you said, this may have worked before, but now it's not working. So tell me more. What have you tried? What do you think will work? And that's where you can have that nice back and forth conversation, because as we know, behaviors are going to shift and change constantly as the child grows.
It's interesting. I don't know. I don't have a lot of experience with girls. I had boys and I had a grandson. Now I got a granddaughter. And it's just different. It's like trial and error. I mean, I had all these strategies that used to work that don't work anymore. So it's sometimes I just feel like I'm in the casino spinning the wheel. Is it going to come up or not?
Yeah, good luck. It's almost like it reminds me of the box of chocolates. Well, I don't know what I'm gonna get, but I'm gonna try and see what happens.
You mentioned that I was an expert. Well, I can tell you, if expert means having the right answer, no, I'm not. If expert means being open to learn from my mistakes, yes, I am. I don't think I know it all because I don't, and I keep getting taught that all the time. But it's sort of like being on CSI or something. It's like fun to figure out this mystery that I thought I knew the answer to, but I don't anymore. I think having that attitude is really helpful, that we don't have to know, and it'll be fun to figure it out together.
I actually love that because I'm very similar in that way. I try to acknowledge the challenges, of course, that is in the work of home visiting. And just like we're talking about today, behaviors, supporting the parents with the challenging behaviors. And also, it's not boring work at all. You never know what you're walking into. There's excitement, there's challenges, there's hardships, there's all these things taking place with these families, right? And that, to me, the same as for you that you just mentioned, is exciting. It keeps us just moving and learning and growing all the time.
Yeah, that every visit is a learning opportunity if we're open to it for the child, the parent, and us. So I think it's just genuine curiosity is our best friend. And it's kind of rude. Let's say I just read a book on child development and said to handle oppositional behavior this way. And so I ask a question, but I read the book. I think I know the answer. I think that's rude. It's condescending if you ask the question that you think you know the answer to. And it's, I think, much more genuine and effective to find a question that you really wonder about. Like, how did this happen? How did the child learn that? How did you learn that? What made you decide? Because we shouldn't assume that people think the same way we do. We talk about cultural differences, but there's always in every family, that's a new foreign country, to learn something about. We shouldn't just think that because that family's from France or Bolivia that we know anything about that family. So it's really, I like to travel. I like to learn about, the cultural norms. One of the things I've learned in some Latin American countries, you just don't go in a store and say, "Can you tell me the way to go to, downtown?" You say, "Hi, good afternoon, how are you? Oh, I'm new here." You spend some time creating a space. You don't just go right to the point. I've heard in Germany that's different. People like to get straight to the point. I haven't had that experience. I don't know if I'm right about that, but it just gives you, if you think about families being that different that way, the same way, we really need to be open to not what's happening inside of us, but what's happening to them. And the only way we can do that is by not getting consumed by what's happening inside of us.
Oh, I love that. So if you were to say two maybe strategies, because that's exactly it, is the inaction, right? The reflective inaction, what's happening within us when we're observing what's happening outward. What would you express to home visitors? A couple of strategies to just to really think about when that is happening.
Well, this is a quote from my late friend, Jeri Paul, who's a wonderful woman and a pioneer in the field of infant mental health. She said, "Don't just do something, stand there." And I think when you are having a reaction, we are better off freezing and just holding back and waiting to see what happens than stepping into the space. Because if we step into the space when we're having a reaction, we're stirring a pot that might overflow. And we don't want to do that. So I think that that's one strategy, is just do more observation if you're uncomfortable. And that will help you slow down, not fill up that space. And then the second thing is what we said. Ask questions. And then the third thing is trying to share information without being a judgmental, meaning I know what your child's doing, so I'm going to tell you. And we have found things like some children do this. Or we can say most children do this. You're telling me your child's different. What do you think? What else? How else do you think your child's different? Notice we're respecting the parents' interpretation while introducing alternative ways of thinking about it in real time. So there are three little strategies. Don't do anything. Ask more information for more information, or share information in an open, non-judgmental way for that creates the opportunity for the parent to consider alternatives.
I love it. Well, Victor, I love our conversation. It felt really good to just hear from you, and we know that you do have a lot of strategies, expertise. You do have expertise in reflective practice. We can't deny that. So we do appreciate your time with us in New Mexico, and we always, of course, are grateful for you and your dedication to the work that you provide to so many people. So thank you. Thank you so much for that. And as home visitors, if you do have questions about reflective practice and you want to make it more meaningful in your work, please continue that conversation with your colleagues, with your supervisor, even during training and consultation, because we love it. It's a wonderful practice. And so we thank you again, Victor. And we hope you will all join us for our upcoming podcast hosted by the UNM Center for Development. and disability home visiting conversations. Take
May I
care.
say
Stay well.
one last thing?
Of course.
I want the reason I have this quote unquote expertise is because all of the experience home visitors have shared with me, and I've been able to make sense out of them. There is a real shape to this work, and that it centers on building the relationship with the family. And we do that through listening and being with them in their own space rather than imposing ours on them. So
Right.
thank you, home visitors, for all you do, and thanks to all of you who've given me so much over the years.
We appreciate you. So take care and stay well.